Welcome to Becoming Like Jesus, a podcast from Pure Heart Church, where we explore what it means to become like Jesus through the messy and perfect stories of real life and real people. I'm your host, Chantel Hinnan, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. Today, we are talking with Pastor Brian Bloom and his wife, Megan Bloom. It's a great conversation. Today, we're diving into the topic of marriage and relationships, and so I hope that you enjoy this conversation. Let's get started. I'm here with Brian Bloom and Megan Bloom. Hi, guys. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here. A few weeks ago, I guess it's been a little while now, we talked with Alan Shanks and Alyssa Nerger, and we talked about singleness. And so my brain's been spinning and really wanting to talk with a couple about marriage, especially as a person who's not yet married, who I want to be married one day. I want to learn from you guys and hear kind of your experience. But first, let's just get started. Would you just start us off by telling us a little bit about yourselves?
Well, we were single 32 years ago.
Yeah, 32 years. I was wondering how long you guys have been married. 32 years. Wow.
Yeah.
We're old.
Yeah, I am the executive pastor here at Pure Heart Church. I have been here along with my wife. We moved from Colorado 27 years ago to come into ministry, and I've been the worship pastor for the past 25 years. And now my son is doing a fantastic job of taking that over, so I just get to hang out and executive pastor with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Megan? What do you do?
I've been teaching in a unique way. I've been teaching with homeschoolers and a group called Keys of Arizona for 13 years now. So I mostly teach high schoolers, and I've taught like 20 different subjects because I get bored. But my favorite subjects are like teaching about just worldview, so people can kind of find out what they really believe and who they are in Christ. So. It's my favorite thing.
That's so cool. And you guys have kids as well, right? Well, they're all grown up. Is that right?
We
do have three wonderful kids.
Zach, who's
our oldest, and then Hannah came along next. And they were both born in Colorado back when we were there. So when we moved here, Zach was 2 years old and Hannah was 4 months old. When we trusted God, moved everything we had 800 miles away from and moved to a place where we knew nobody. Instead, we hope we trust God, and I think we have been able to trust Him for
Larissa,
the most part.
We had Larissa, like, right after that. They're only 3.5 years apart all.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we have amazing...
We got three more kids now because...
Daughter-in-law and son-in-law. Kendra is married to Zach, and Brandon is married to Hannah, and we are having a to-be son-in-law. Alex.
Yes, that was pretty recent that they just got engaged. Yes. Not too long ago. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
And we have 5 grandchildren, and that is the blessing.
Yeah.
That is the cream.
You're
right
glad
there
you let your kids live now that they have.
Glad that we all survived because we got these fun little people to play with and send home.
Yes. Are your kids are in their 20s, is that right? Right.
Yeah, 25 to 29.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Wow. And you moved here from Colorado 27 years ago,
yeah.
You said, and that was because you felt like God was calling you to ministry here? Is that kind of how that happened?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. I think I asked myself a question probably like a lot of people do when you're kind of getting towards moving towards high school, and then you're thinking about what do you do? Are you going to go to college and trying to figure out what you're going to be when you grow up? So I had a lot of trying to figure out how do I hear God, how do I want to follow God, but what does that mean? What does it look like? And I was, thanks to Megan, I was serving, doing worship in a local church back in Colorado called The Vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
And before she came into my life, I was pretty happy and content just to kind of sit in the big church and just watch the world go by. And she came along, and we'll talk about that maybe a little bit later, but... she said, we need to not just sit here, we actually need to get involved. So we ended up getting involved in a smaller church, and one thing led to another, and I ended up leading worship in that church, and yeah, so that's...
It grew.
And I think we're just trying to figure out, what does it mean to go into ministry? What does it mean to be in full-time ministry? And I felt like we definitely were ministering to people where we were at, even in my workplace where I worked. I worked for the Department of Energy, and... we had this one little Bible study. There was a Catholic guy in it that was me. We had a Baptist guy, a Pentecostal guy, a guy from a Bible church. It was just this eclectic thing.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out life and hear the answer to those questions along the way. And we even had somebody that got saved as a result of just us being over there doing a Bible study during lunch period. But I think what just kind of continued to progress and transpire was I wanted to follow God. I wanted to figure out what that meant. And along the journey, we discovered it was to trust God and move 800 miles away from where we were raised and come down here to Phoenix.
To be a pastor at Pure Heart.
To be a pastor.
So he left building nuclear weapons to come and be a pastor at Pure Heart.
Nuclear weapons complex. So, yeah.
So, it's a big difference.
Right, it's a little bit of a difference.
And scary.
I think he found his
I like doing what I'm doing much more now.
I'm sure that felt a lot of different things during that time. What was that experience like? I know it's hard to probably look back 32 years knowing what you know now, but what were you feeling during that time moving all the way here?
I think we were optimistic but apprehensive. I'm just kind of a person that lived in Colorado for 30 years. I was lived in two houses my whole time that I was there growing up. And then I bought a house when I was younger and lived in that one. And I just kind of was a stay in one place kind of guy. So to pick up and move was a huge step for me, a huge risk. And Megan and I had been married a few years at that point. And we had this opportunity, this offer through a mutual friend that kind of told us about this opportunity down here. And we just prayed a lot about it, tried to figure it out, tried to hear God. Megan was woken up in the middle of the night a couple times and got a couple of those scriptures that we still hold on to today. I remember specifically having a breakfast with one of my buddies that I was close with and prayed a lot. And after I processed with him, he says, "It sounds like you really are hearing from God. You just don't want to obey him."
I think that it wasn't like, I mean, our income was cut by 2/3. And we had two little kids and I got pregnant right away. So there's that.
Yeah.
But I think it was moving from family because, like, even for me, Brian's family was in Colorado and they really wanted to be involved and they, you know, loved being around children. So just leaving that was really, really hard to come out and go, we're going to be by ourselves and we're not going to, who we're going to spend, you know, Christmas with and who we're going to do anything with. And we, you know, now the people really in church have become our family because we have family, but we couldn't leave at Christmas or Easter or those things. And they've become, you know, they're the friends that are family, you know, that we spend our holidays with.
And well, I think that was the biggest sacrifice as family for sure. You mentioned a big cut in pay, which was something we certainly had to adjust to, but God has blessed us and met us all the way along this last 27 years we've been here. And, you know, my kids have always had food on their table and a roof over their head. But I think being away from family, when we made it a priority to visit, like every year we tried to hit all the different family that we could and take our vacations doing those things. But yeah, that was, and I think for me too, in being back in Boulder, Colorado, which is where our church was at, I felt like both of us had this great group of people we ministered to and ministered with, and leaving there was this grief of, like, I'm losing all that. And the thing that I discovered was I didn't really lose any of that. I still have that. I've just gained a whole nother family and a whole nother kind of sphere of people to be around. So it's been pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I'm going to just touch on one thing. I don't know why, but when Brian and I were just talking about this, just the fact that when we moved, when your income is cut that much, and then I got pregnant, and it was just foolish for us to even be able to put kids into childcare. Like, I couldn't make enough to cover that at that point. And so I could pick up part-time jobs, but God, I mean, we're living in times where I'm watching, you know, people lose their income, and it's just been insane to just see how many people are affected, and your heart is just broken. And I can't even, I wish I could go back and tell my younger self, but now I can say, I can't tell you how many times miraculously God provided, not in financially, but also through friendship, through relationships,
people giving us clothes for our kids.
Yeah. I mean, it was like we wouldn't tell people like our need. We didn't tell people. And then there'd be $1,000, you know, like the exact amount that we had to pay a hospital bill. Like, I cannot tell you how many times he's straightened teeth. He's done, just said like the craziest things. And we just, we go, I don't know.
He being God, I didn't straighten anybody's teeth.
Maybe. But just God just being just our Jehovah Jireh. I mean, he just provided in such amazing ways. And it really was just us going and saying, okay, we don't have it. We can't do this. I have no idea. Like, we're in, and we weren't foolish with our money, but we just, like, that just things happen. Emergencies happen, and our emergency fund was gone. And I think God kind of did that for us to allow us to really depend on him. And I think now in these times, like, we just, because we've lived through it, we are like, it's all going to be okay. And we're on this other end where people told us that, but, you know, now we're like, no, really. We're going to get through this together. It might not be what it was before, but it will, you know, maybe you didn't have, maybe our kids had one pair of shoes, but they had a pair of shoes. Yeah. And they had water. And well, they had food.
This is a crazy thing that we just realized the other day. The air conditioner that's on our house was there when we moved under the house 27 years ago.
No.
And I don't know how long it had been there before that. It's still working. Hasn't, I'm like, a fan has gone out and we've replaced a fan, but it's like 27 plus years. So, and the thing is,
in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah. Not letting the shoes wear out on the people in the wilderness, I guess.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. How that early time coming here, though, you guys had only been married a few years, probably like, what, 5 years or so?
Yep.
If I'm doing math right there, somewhere close.
You're good, Chantel. Yeah. We got married in 88 and we moved to 93. Yes.
So I'm not saying math is, I mean, 5 years is a small amount by any means, but comparatively, it was early on in your marriage, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
And you got three little kids and a pay decrease and just a difficult season in some ways, also really positive. What was the impact that that had on your marriage, you think, looking back?
Well, Brian was gone a lot. Because it was just him and another pastor, and he did maintenance. He was over IT. He was over literally.
Oh, and I did worship too.
Oh, worship. Just all the things. Yeah,
he did everything. And we didn't. Church, we had that's back when they had Wednesday night service, Saturday night service, two or three Sunday morning, and then a Sunday night. All it was crazy.
I get to be. I used to do small groups too, Chantel.
Yeah, all the things.
So. Yeah, so I think it was. Yeah. We didn't really, and then we just jumped in with both feet, and we're both youth to serving, and I don't know if we really thought like how this would affect us later on. I think it was probably more like 5 years after we got here, the effects of not having really healthy boundaries and working on our marriage.
Because when you're in church and you have young kids, you just drag your kids to church with you all the time, right?
Yeah.
And so your kids get to come to church all the time. And that can be very challenging. And I think the fact that I thought I was doing the right thing because I was working my tail off, doing all the things, making sure that God was happy with me, that my boss was happy with me, that the church was happy with me, that the worship team, all those things. And I was probably working 70 hours a week, typically, Christmas and Easter, more than that. And, you know, quite frankly, we were struggling with communications and things. And I think that Megan and I would talk about those things. And I think as a guy, you tend to look at, like, here's the peaks. Yeah, we're having kind of a crummy time here, and we're not doing very well, but now we're talking, we're great. So I would just kind of see you across those peaks, and everything seemed like, yeah, for the most part, we're pretty great. Megan, I think, saw more of the valleys going, this is not good. And we had several conversations about that. I just didn't really get it. And then I came home one day, and she'd written me, I call it the Dear John letter. But it's not Dear John, I'm leaving. It's not Dear John, I'm leaving you. But basically, like, I can't live this way anymore. You are married to the church. We get the leftovers. And I think that really impacted me. And I really finally, for the first time, heard her heart and what she was saying and what she meant by that. And we talked about trying to maybe go to a counselor and get some help. And it's like, for me, like, I don't need that. I don't need to spend the money or, quote, in quotes, waste the money, right? We can figure this out. Well, at that point, I realized, man, she's hurting big time. I recognized it. And so I said, let's get some counseling. And rather than let her set it up and figure it all out, I said, I need to do this. So I found a counselor, which turned out to be just an amazing spirit-filled lady that we both connected with. Mm. And we spent some time with her really figuring it out and working on things in our marriage communication. And I think one of the biggest things that she taught us to do,
or got us back to,
that got us back to where we needed to be, was something I tell every couple that I meet with, mm-hmm. or that we meet with together, is that, are you praying together? And mm-hmm. it's amazing to me how many times people go, yeah, maybe at dinner, but we really don't pray together. And we definitely don't pray out loud together. And it's like we learned to pray together out loud with each other. And we did it this morning. We continue.
We prayed together 3 times today because we've ran into people praying with each other. Yeah. It is definitely that and worship. But just, it was really that. It's not that it's just that we stopped. We mm-hmm. just were so busy serving others. And we just had to.
I got
to
all
make
these scheduled prayer times. Do we really need to pray? We kind of,
we just had to like mm-hmm. really look at our life. And that was really hard. Like it really, because of the way our church was structured, I had to pull back. You know, I had to really say, I want to have a family at the end of this, you know, and I want our kids to love.
Want to go to church.
Want to go to church. I want them to have an opportunity to choose God, not like this is forced down your throat. Mm-hmm. And so I left different ministries and at that point in time, and we had to make a different structure at our house, and that was a little really different. But it really changed our life. We really were able to put God, our marriage, and then our kids, they came before the church. And that's, you know, I don't know. Everybody has their own opinion on that, but that's what we needed to do. Because we really wanted to have kids that really would survive that pastoral kid thing. It was good.
We didn't have pastors in our family and those kind of things, so I don't think, I'll just speak for myself, I don't really know the pressure that my kids faced as pastors' kids. And years later, now that my kids are really in pretty healthy places and stuff, they've told us some stories, and I'm going, wow, I didn't even realize.
We jumped right in there, which I love. This is the best. But I do want to hear, because I haven't heard this story. How did you guys meet?
It was love at
second sight. my wife, Megan, was in school out in Bethany, Kansas, with what would be my future sister-in-law and my brother. They were all from Colorado, and they were all going to school in Kansas together.
Davey, his brother, was the first person I met in college. And so we just looked at each other and said, hey, are you a Christian? And he said, yeah. And so we instantly hit it off. And his girlfriend lived right next door to me. And then we became fast friends. It was threesome with him. But we were all from Colorado, and we went to the small, tiny town in Kansas. So in Kansas, you can either
go to the Pizza Hut,
drink and party, or like spend some time with each other and get to know each other. And we started praying for each other's families. So I prayed for Brian long before I knew him. I met his whole family before I ever met Brian. But so I was so excited the first time I was going to meet him. We were going to drive back together with Dave and Julie, and I show up at the house, and Brian, like, they go and get Brian, and he comes out. He's an introvert, and B, I'm an extrovert. And I was like, oh my gosh, hi, how's this going? Like, I've been praying for him, and I'm so excited. And he, like, said about one word, like, hi. Yeah.
It wasn't. It wasn't a great first meeting. I think she was very, very unimpressed with me.
I got in the car and I said, "I don't know what's going on with your brother, but I don't know." He said like three words, and so that was that.
That was the first time we met in my parents' driveway, and then the next time that we really met was at my brother and sister-in-law's wedding. And so I was in the wedding party. I was the best man, and Megan was in the bridal part, or in the maid of honor. A bridesmaid. And so she came over to my parents' house. We were all gathering before we went to the rehearsal and the dinner, and
it is one of the only times I've heard God like this. But I pull up and I got out of this car and God said, "Look up there, that's the guy you're gonna marry." And I looked up and I'm like, I see it's Brian. I'm like, well, he doesn't talk, so it's just not going to work, you know. And I'm like, and you know, in my prideful way, well, he's going to, you know, I'm already dealing with God. He's going to have to move out to California. I'm like telling God, like, I don't even know the guy. So that was.
But I don't know, something happened to me where I just saw her in a different way at that rehearsal and rehearsal dinner. I just wanted to hang out with her, so I figured out a way to get sitting by her at the dinner, and we talked the whole night. And then the next day we had the wedding, went through the wedding, and we're, you know, by each other because we're in the bridal party, and then the whole reception, all that stuff. And then at the end, I hadn't really talked to her at the very end.
My brother
comes up and he goes, "Hey, here's Megan's number." I said, "Oh, you think I should call her?" He goes, "Dude, what do you think?" Now tell what.
Yeah, and David he comes up to me and he's like, "All right, my brother is way too shy and he will never ask you for your number." And I'm like, "I have never given a guy my number. That is weird. I am not giving my number out to this guy." And he's like, "Come on, I really feel like you should do it." I'm like, "Okay, Dave, I'll do it. I always do anything you ask." So I give my number, and then I'm on vacation, and I thought, well, because I knew there was something there. I'm like, I waited around for him to call. And it was like, you know, 1 or 2 in the afternoon the next day, and I'm like, I am out of here. This guy, I give him my number, and he didn't call me.
That's because it took me to 1 o'clock to get up the courage to say the three words I needed to say. And so I finally do call that afternoon, and she's gone. So I get her mom on the telephone where she's staying. And I say, "Well, would you please give Megan a message and let her know that Brian called?" And then mom forgets to give her the message. So we almost didn't connect.
It was almost. Our first date was hiking in the Rocky Mountains. Yep. So that, you know, first of all, Rocky Mountains. And then we grabbed Bibles and some snacks and went hiking. And that's where I think that's why we fell in love, because it was about the Lord first, you know. Mm. And we laugh a lot, but it was also about God.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we lived. I lived in California, and he lived here, so.
We lived in Colorado.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Colorado. Yeah, I'm jumping ahead to Arizona. Yeah, he lived in Colorado. And so our relationship was built through, I know, you guys don't know this.
We had an old-fashioned kind of relationship.
We actually wrote letters to each other, and there was no email. And
no FaceTime.
And I mean, long-distance calling was so expensive. So we would save our money to buy like the card to call long distance. And yeah, so that's, I mean, it's funny. I mean, Brian is, his letters, or my letters are in our
FireSafe.
Our FireSafe. And they're all organized because that's Brian. Mine, when the kids are like, "Where are your letters, Mom?" I'm like, "I don't know. They're up in the attic." They're like, "I don't know. There's some box up there." I mean, I've kept them, of course, but I don't know. I've never read them again. And they're like, "But Mom." I'm like, "I know. There's just, we're different."
That's so sweet.
Yeah, her words to me were much better, worth saving, so we've saved those.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, so what is your advice to a single gal that's wanting to get married one day? Knowing what you know now when it comes to dating.
Oh, we talked about this.
Well, one of the interesting things in listening to the podcast with Alyssa and Alan, you know, that whole thing about you thinking that the other person is going to complete you, and that, you know, the Jerry Maguire line, "You complete me" kind of deal, is that that's, it's Hollywood. It's not reality, right? And you got to, they said it so eloquently too, that you really have to understand who Jesus is and have Jesus fill in that hole in your heart, because the other person, your future spouse, isn't going to fill that hole. I mean, Megan is amazing, but if I don't have my relationship with God, and she didn't have a relationship with God before our relationship with each other, that's the thing you got to get right to begin with. And, you know, luckily God's got grace, because I won't say we've had it right the second we got married. We're still working on a relationship, getting it right, becoming more like Jesus for the sake of others, right? And he's using us in each other's life to do that. But I think discovering that you really have to know that.
That part is kind of like indoctrinated in our society, that there's somebody that's out there, one person, and that person is going to complete you. And I just think it's silly, you know, because there's nothing in God's word that says that. Because then you're falling into the trap that marriage is to make me happy. I mean, it's a benefit. I mean, it happens.
It's good,
but
being
it happens
happy.
Because God is making you more holy, because, like, it's a cosmic joke to bring two people that are different and make them one. Like, I'm just like, how does that happen? That happens because you spend time with God and allowing. I am a selfish person. I'm competitive. I like to be right. I mean, I don't like those things about me, you know? And that's the stuff you have to lay down. You know, Trisha used to say it.
She said, I think that Trisha Thompson was a person that was in our church for a long time. She's passed away from cancer.
They did our marriage ministry,
her and Ray. But she said, I think way more married couples would stay together if they would do two things, if they would pray together and if they'd speak kindly to one another.
And you'd think that would be so easy.
A no-brainer.
But when we talk to people, I mean, we've not spoken kindly to each other, but I mean, I would add in forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know, you have to. I mean, God forgave us, so we have to choose to let things go. Otherwise, they'll just build up and talk about them. You know, press through and do the hard things. It's not fun to, you know, work through things sometimes, but boy, it is so worth it. The person I look at, Brian, now. I don't see the same changes in me, but I look at him and who he was when we came out here and who he is now, and there's just no comparison. It don't give up on those things, because they happen. It's because I know that he loves God so much that he's going to continue to go before God and ask God to change him, and I don't have to worry about, you know, being his Holy Spirit and telling him. Sometimes I am his Holy Spirit, but that was nice. But I just think that's what's so important. People give up so quickly, and they think I'm just not happy. And I'm like, well, there's times I haven't been happy, you know, but most of the time it's because I'm making choices in my own life that aren't making me happy. But I don't know. I mean, it's just incredible to see who God has made you, Brian. You know, it's just amazing for me to go, wow, I would have never, if I look back and said who he is now, like, I couldn't have even imagined that person. And it's way better.
Just kind of scary, actually.
It's way better than I could have ever imagined. That's what I'm saying. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that the many times that we were on that brink and hopeless and hurting, that God kept us on that course, and we had people encourage us to stay that course. So
yeah, it's not interesting, you know, when you think about that, 32 years of marriage, like, that's, I mean, that's older than I am. You know, it's like more time than I've been alive. And you know, and so for me to think about that, I think about how much, obviously, you change in just a few years in your 20s, you know, like how much I've changed just in the last year, 2 years. And so to think about marrying somebody and then think about what they're going to be in 30 years, you have no idea who that person is going to be. But that's what that is. It's signing up and investing and saying, we're in it for the long haul,
and
right?
That's why we got to trust God. And you know that the whole scripture about being unequally yoked, and all. I just think it's important that you that both people are looking towards God and trying to become more like, you know, are saying that at Pure Heart, that becoming more like Jesus for the sake of others. Because if another person is not wanting to become like Jesus, then, man, you can love them, you can have a friendship with them, but man, I don't want to tie my life and invest my life with another person that isn't going towards God for me, because it's, I look at where our marriage would be if we didn't have God in our marriage and we didn't have the ability, because God gives me the ability to forgive her and forgive myself. And within my natural flesh, I can't even do that. I'm too much of a knucklehead, you know? I get PO'd. I don't want to forgive her. I want to have my little stampy temper tantrum. You know, just having God give us the ability to love each other, to forgive each other, to laugh together, to have joy. And, you know, there's a lot of ups and downs, and it's longevity. You know, it's us being in it for, I don't want to say it the long haul, like it's a haul to be married, but it's for the long distance, you know, because unfortunately, we know a lot of people, a number of people that have had to quit, given up, whatever. And if you don't do that, and if you've worked through the hard things, you come out on the other end, and it's such a beautiful thing. And it's also a beautiful thing in the midst of it. It's not like you got to wait till the very end.
Yeah.
And hopefully we're not at the very end. I mean, but I was thinking about this today, 32 years. I was 23 when I met Megan. So I've known her longer than I haven't known her. I've been with her longer than I haven't been. So it's kind of a cool thing.
And then I would go back to your first question that we kind of got off track, but just hold out for who God, you know, has. And I think that's what's really hard. It's really because everything in society is like, oh, you know, this is what you need to have, you know, in your life. And be content. I would practice contentment. That would be my one thing. I would say I would practice contentment no matter where you are. If you're single, if you're a young mom, if you're in marriage, because you'll be in marriage or be a mom or be a widow. You know, we have three widows in our family, you know, just how do you practice that contentment? Because we're in being grateful to that place in your life. Why am I here? Why am I called at this time for this place with whatever I have and whoever I have here? That, I think that's so important. And we're always wanting something different, right? So if you get married, then you want children, or you want the other, you know, or you're wanting a job promotion. I don't know what you
always want.
You just always want something different, you know. And then we get on our end and we're like, man, we just wish we have some of our loved ones, or we have, you know, just, I think we just always want something else. And I think that would be like one of the things I would recommend is practicing that.
Yeah.
Being content.
What are some of the things that you guys can think of, like the practical things that you did as a married couple for each other or with each other for your marriage in like year 5 or year 10 that you are reaping the benefit of now?
Well, year 10, right, was when we were really struggling. But I know it sounds this sounds really dumb, but we had to put like reminders around our house. So we had like scripture and like actual remind. We had put signs around our house.
Mine in the garage was check your expectations at the door.
Yeah, wow. We had this huge sign.
No, we had it, but it was for me.
Mine were okay. You know? And then we had some scriptures, like, you know, and we put sign, like big signs, because we were like struggling. We're like, I need Jesus right now, and I need those words. So being afraid to do things that are different than what everybody else does. And that's really hard. Like, and learning to work to be on the same page. Because, boy, raising children, we were always different. And how do we stay connected and trust God in each other? We did some really crazy things, and I'm like, I mean, that, you know, now, like, we pulled our TV out, you know,
every summer for a number of years.
For a couple, like a month and or 6 weeks, and our kids thought they were gonna die. But
so we, you like took the TV away,
mm-hmm. put it in the garage.
But we did.
We only had one TV. It was one of those big tube TVs.
I mean, it was like
it was work to take it out of the house.
And they thought they were literally like you would thought, and we thought we were going to die because we're like, we got to deal with you, and, you know, because you're crying and whining about everything, and you know, moping, and you know, but we just did things only. We didn't do that like it wasn't our idea. I think it was really inspired by God, but it was just really we just noticed things in our kids that just weren't. Like good things, and so that's why we did it. And maybe even if it was for ourselves,
the praying together is the biggest thing that has helped us and kept us on track. Making an effort for that, you know, we always hear about the date nights, and you should make sure you have date nights every week. And I think that's awesome, but I think we did a very good job of that consistently. I mean, we definitely had dates and we had fun times, but. You know, we got sidetracked for sure. We're doing a whole lot better at that these days now that our kids are having their own lives. We have a lot more time to date and hang out. But all through that, we didn't lose our love with each other and having fun, you know. And then when the kids leave the house, you're like looking at each other like, I don't even know you. That didn't happen in our relationship. And because I think we also laughed together a lot. We do some things, whether it's playing games or watching movies or sometimes reading books or just – doing things that make each other laugh, and we both just kind of have, I don't know, the ability to do that for each other and with each other that is, I think that's huge.
I think I noticed the other day, so when it was when President Trump came and said, okay, now we're not going to have any gatherings of more than 10, I'm like, oh, well, we're already breaking the rule because our family's at 12 right now. So,
oh, no.
Hey, welcome, and it was my birthday, and we were playing cards, which can be, we're all competitive and we're all leaders, and so it can be a little bit challenging, but we were actually getting along,
risk.
You know,
definitely.
And we're all playing, and it's loud, and I could just, there was just this sense of this, a little bit of fear and anxiety and what's going to happen, and so we're talking, but the more we got into this, and then somebody would read a new thing, and then it just, around the table, it's my birthday, and I'm just like, there's just a lot of, I don't want that fear and anxiety. And so we've just, I think because this is a practice that we'll either do like a worship and just pray for a little, like not for a long time, but just a worship and prayer. But we just, I said, okay, we need to stop. Let's just put the cards down. Let's just go. And just sit and pray. And I mean, you know, when you're trying to pray with five kids under five, it's always, you know, worship and prayer nights are always like, it's just crazy. But there's this practice. So they've been in the same mode. They've seen that. We were never got mad because they were little kids and making loud noises and rolling on the floor and sliding down slides and jumping. And you're trying to pray and you just have to, sometimes you have to, you know, sidetrack them. But we just prayed, and it wasn't a long time, but it was just all of a sudden the peace of God came. And I think that's one of those things is just who are we really dependent on, you know? And I think that would be one thing. We did a lot of things wrong. In fact, if you want to do a podcast on all the things that we did wrong, there would not be enough time because we really did mess up a lot. And we prayed all the time, love covers a multitude of sins. So God, we just ask that you cover our multitude of sins. But we did, but we apologized a lot.
That's a big thing.
And we went to God. We all went to God. We always went and just knelt before God and not, you know, we weren't apologetic about it.
We also apologized not only to each other in our marriage when we made mistakes big enough to just go, yeah, I screwed this up and I'm sorry, please forgive me. And of course we made our kids do that with each other, but we did it with our kids too, not just the one way from the kids to us, because we made mistakes, and you know, it's not just so we, as Megan said clearly, but we had lots of times to really tell our kids, get in their face and say, I'm really sorry that I, you know, and I think that paid huge dividends in our family down the road. So
I think my daughter goes, the other day we were sitting around, she goes, well, we're dysfunctional. And I'm like, you know, we are far from perfect. We are really, you know, I come from a line of dysfunction. So I was like, we are definitely not perfect. But I go, why I would say we're functional and why I think what I want to give people hope for is we work through our issues. So if somebody's mad and they get really mad and our kids, we're a normal American family and that has happened many times. We don't work through their issues. We are like, yeah, we're sorry. It's your relationship with your brother or your brother-in-law or whatever. And they work through their issues and we work through our issues and we all do that. And I think that was what I was, I don't know why I got stuck back there, but I was like, I think it's so important every relationship that we're in, whether it's parent, child, in-laws, whatever it is, grandchild to a grandparent, all of them are relationships, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's just important. If you let it go, you're not going to have that relationship. I mean, you sometimes should give people space.
Like, we don't have to fix it this moment.
It doesn't have to be fixed that moment, but it's not months and months and months that go by. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is families just get further and further apart, right? And they don't work through that. And so I think people might be experiencing living closer in quarters, and those things might come up. So my encouragement would be to just remember not to take everything so seriously. Let things go a lot easier. and if there's something really that you need to work through, then make sure you do it. Take that chance. So.
Even if you got to write a letter.
You have to write it. It wasn't a Dear John letter. Oh my gosh, I didn't say I was leaving you. I said I was unhappy.
What have you guys learned? I mean, it's hard to ask this because you have been married a long time, and I'm sure you've learned so much about God in the last 32 years individually, but also together. What do you think marriage has taught you about who God is, though?
For me personally, I went through probably the toughest time in my life ever last year, 2019. And I saw Megan, who could have just kind of stood back in the distance, a little bit aloof, and said, you got to get your stuff together, dude, because you're a drain right now. Because there was days and moments and times for the last several years that I know I was a drain, and I was trying to figure out how not to be a drain and feeling guilty that I was being a drain. But anyway, cue the sad music right here.
It's like violin.
No, but what I saw her do was come alongside me and really support me in ways that were like pretty extraordinary to me, that she would love me to that level and show God's love to me. And I think it helped me even as I was going through my stuff, really understand God's, and I'm a pastor. I've been saved since I'm 18, almost 40 years of knowing the Lord, and I know His love for me. I know His plan. I know Jesus died for me. I know all the stuff, but I know it at a whole different level. And I had a personal relationship with Jesus through that time, but I have a deeper personal relationship with Him now through going through some challenges. But having Megan to walk beside me has been. I mean, it's been phenomenal. So I've learned that tremendously in this last year.
It's easier to sacrifice things in marriage because just His great love, you know, His love for me has been so shown. And Brian is just, I don't know in our early marriage, but just in the past, you know, 5-8 years, the tenderness of God and His love has been really shown to me, and that's really been helpful for me because I think after the kids left, I was like, what's my purpose? What do I do? You know? And that was really hard. And he's always encouraged me, and he's always been like my biggest champion. And he's learned to just find new ways to show me God's love. I mean, it's kind of, I know that sounds weird, but it's just that tenderness and that heart, you know, that wasn't a part of really who you were, would you say? Like, it was in
no,
the inside.
I was not the romantic guy in the romantic comedy, mm-mm, you know, thinking about all those little nuances and stuff. But
he does now.
Well, and Megan just talked about having her birthday, so I got her a gift for her, which I know that you need to remember your wife's birthday. I got that figured out a long time ago that's an important thing to remember, your anniversary and her birthday. But
it
I always
is.
Got cards. But
it's a national holiday.
I'm not the big gift guy, really. You know, I mean, but this last birthday, I ended up getting her this gift that I just was really excited about because 6-7 months ago, I heard her talking about this one thing, and I kind of locked away in my brain, and so I went, and all on my own, I didn't tell anybody anything because my girls were saying, "Dad, it's Mom's birthday," or you know, because they helped me a lot with with all those kind of things, which
daughters.
I need a lot of help. But I said, "I got it covered." And they wanted, "Well, what are you doing? What are you doing?" I didn't tell anybody anything. And I just went all on my own like a big boy and picked it out and figured it out, you know. And I gave it to her in front of the family for her birthday last weekend. And I know it really blessed her. And I was excited to just get to do something like that,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. It's exciting to do that.
Know that it would bless her and it'd make her smile.
That's really sweet. So last question that I have for you guys, unless there's anywhere we didn't go that you want to go. The thing that's come into my mind is for the person who's listening or the couple that's listening that's having a really hard time in their marriage, that's really struggling, what would your encouragement be to them?
You know, realizing the person that you actually fell in love with, I think one of the things that God has shown me over the last number of years, so you fall in love with your spouse, with my wife, those things that are so different than you, you're like, that's so awesome to you because it's totally unlike you. She's spontaneous. She's always full of joy. She can carry on a conversation even if I'm not talking, you know, all those kind of things. You're drawn to that person. Those things excite you about them. And then a little bit later on in marriage, they're driving you nuts because they're not who you are. They're not like you. And you're just like, oh my gosh, you know, and that's that dying to yourself and that selfishness, learning to appreciate. And I think then you come to this next phase, this third phase after that you go, I'm just going to accept it. I know I'm not never going to change that. She's always going to be that way. And that's a generalism because Megan talked about how much I've changed over the years.
Yeah.
She's changed tremendously too. But the root core things in your personality and who you are, mm-hmm, you just go, that's just who she is. I got to just accept it and deal with it, right? And then if you stay in there and hang in there, it goes to this really beautiful phase when you really begin to appreciate that. It's not just, I'm not putting up with it. It's kind of back to that first part where you fell in love with them because of that, but you've been through all this stuff, and now you go, man, I so appreciate that about them now. So
yeah.
I think keeping that in mind, that we all go through tough things, hang in there, and talk with other couples. You know, we have a fantastic marriage ministry at our church, lots of couples that have been through lots of challenging things as much as you have or that you may go through, get together with them, have conversations, invite them to dinner, have coffee with them, take a risk of that couple, and because we all need to share back and forth with each other, and that's huge, huge, huge. I can't state that enough, just getting together with people that have been through some of those things. You know, that's huge.
That's great. But I think I'm thinking back to the when you're hurting in marriage, it's like that a core hurt. It's that core area. And I think when you've lost hope, and you're just so broken, I mean, I think that is a really hard place. And so we can say all these great things because we have stayed through it all, and both of us wanted to work through it. It's really hard to be the person to place your hope in a God. And God's word says you can place your hope in Him that does not disappoint. But when you feel disappointed all the time, it's one thing, you know, to say that, but it's another thing to walk through that. And so I just think Brian was right. It's just, you need people. You need people around you. You need others that can speak those encouraging things, that can really help you in those times, that will be there and listen when you're really upset. One time my friend called and my daughter answered my phone and she said, my husband's being a real, and I can't say that because it's a path. But she said it and my daughter picked it up and that was the best. I loved it. But she, you know, when you can call and say those things and be honest and be real and not pretend and say, this is where I'm at. I am so broken. Because that, if you're honest, then you can move past that. And you need people around you to help you, because that's how we got through it. I mean, absolutely. That is. I mean, we're giving you all this, oh, it just God. But I'm like, when you're there, it hurts. And because that person who you thought was going to be your best friend is gonna hurting hang the moon. You, is breaking your heart. And you don't know. You don't ever expect that. And you don't have a box for when you're a parent and your child makes choices and your heart is being ripped out and you're so afraid. We've gone through those times. And those aren't, like, platitudes aren't going to get you through it. But I think just knowing that God is good all the time and that if you start really finding places that you can really ask God for that hope, you know, I need you to give me a scripture, God. I need to cling on here. I need you to come and do that. And he is so faithful and he'll do that. And he does it through friends. Sometimes it's a worship song, whatever way God is God, you know, I'm not putting him in a box, but those are the things that you have to, it's that relationship with God saying, I need this because I don't have any hope. I don't think it's going to change. I don't see. I remember being in, like, I just felt like I was in a tunnel and I could see just like a little gleam of light. And that's where, that was my picture. And I'm like, well, this stinks, you know, and I feel very alone in this tunnel. And then I opened this book up and Corrie Ten Boom, who a lot of you guys have heard about, wrote this thing in her book. She said, when you are, you know, going through a tunnel and you feel alone in the dark, just hold on tight and trust the engineer. And I think that was just such a good picture for me, you know. And so he gave me that, you know, I had to just hold on tight, know that God's the engineer in this and that the light is coming, you know. I just feel like I'm in the dark, you know. And I think God is very faithful in that.
He absolutely is. And I think the last thing that I would say on that too is the thing I discovered almost 20 years ago when we went through our challenge of having to go to a counselor. And I don't even want to say it like that, having to go to. I think you should go to a counselor. I think counseling,
it's a good thing.
I've really discovered that it's a great thing. As I've gone through my own personal stuff, seeing a counselor, it's helped me tremendously being able to process outside of my own brain of what I'm thinking, because we think what we think, right? And especially when you get in a marriage, sometimes you really need that objective person that has that outside opinion that can listen and talk to both of you without all that tension and stuff that you have going on. And it's not a weakness, it's not a crutch, it's not like, well, I guess this is my last resort. No, this is something you should embrace and enjoy it, because it's there and there's some. But I would say if you can find somebody that's a Christian, that's Spirit-led, those are the people that have helped us the most. Mm. They know God's Word, and they also are studied and have the skills and how to, you know, give us the tools that we need, but they also are hearing from God. I think those are two really great things.
And friends that speak the truth. Because sometimes I need to hear, like, well, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to be the one that's changing it. Like, like always pointing it back to, like, what could you do, you know? And I think in marriage, it's like it takes, like, I don't want to quote somebody, but there is a reality of we have this, you know, Dan says it all the time. We have this vertical relationship with God, but we are meant to be in relationship with one another. And our very close friends, we have gone through, and all of us have gone through marriage issues, and we've been there for each other. We've had prayer groups for years, you with your guys' group and me with mine, but most of us are also couple friends, and so we've laughed, cried, you know, and everything in between, mm-hmm. helped each other.
And I would say too, if you're a married couple, share that experience. You know, you have a lot to offer those other marriages, whether they're younger couples. And, you know, May and I have been in the middle of some really challenging situations with married couples. And I remember one that they were really going through some really challenging things and there needed to be a confrontation. And so Megan and I both were willing to come together and meet with them and walk through some really challenging times and love them enough to tell them the truth, but really love them. And that I believe that they knew that in the midst of it, that we loved both of them, not just the one that called out for the help, you know. And even a little time after that, maybe a year, year and a half after that, the one spouse reached out to me and said, "Man, thank you guys so much for being there." Mm. And it's, you know, it's not just us going to others for help, but us being there to help others too, I think is super important. Yeah.
That's so good. Well, thank you guys so much. This has been so fun.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Brian and Megan. I know that I did. No matter if you're single or married, I'm sure that you found something to just encourage you in your walk and in your relationships with other people. If you need anything from us, you can reach us at podcast@pureheart.org. If you have any questions or you want to get maybe involved in our marriage ministry here at Pure Heart, please reach out to us. I hope you have a great week.